Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
That is exactly right. Welcome to Soundbites for Saturday, the 22nd of December in the year 2001. It is officially winter, but luckily the days are now getting longer. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And we'll be taking your calls, as you heard, on Soundbites at, if you're in the 585 area code, it's 222-1180. If you're calling outside the 585 area code, it's 800-295-1180. And if you're a Verizon Wireless customer, it's star 1180. There seems to be a theme here. Before we get to the phone calls, however, we'll take some news. And at the risk of setting Dave off with a numerical frenzy, I have given him... I've given him some news about viruses. We don't want to know about numbers. We want to know about things.
Well, as a matter of fact, this virus that's going out, I received it personally myself. Of course, my antivirus software caught it. And it's the Happy New Year's. And there's a program attached to it called Christmas.exe. And the hackers have been back at it, adding some other, it's the W32 cracker.c attachment, or you could get the W32 Mandela.c. There's also a third one out there that there's a virus called W32/CIU-1003A. Now, basically what all these do for you folks is, if you don't keep your antivirus software up to date, on the 26th of every month, it does a rewrite to your BIOS.
Well, which means your system can't boot anymore.
You
it doesn't
got
know where
it,
the hard drives are.
It's got everything messed up for you, and it can literally render your machine totally useless.
With many machines, you actually have to buy a new BIOS. They won't.
Yeah, it'll mess it up so bad. Even if you can get it for that board, sometimes it can even be down to buying another board if, you know, it messes it up. So, again, we can't stress enough. Christmas gift, you might want to just do an online or go to the local store and wrap it up as a gift for somebody and get that package.
Because if there's somebody you love who isn't running antivirus software, do them a favor and buy them something.
And again, this virus again goes through Outlook. It's very sneaky. My father-in-law thought he got it from a reliable friend when he called him up, because I called him immediately to let him know, oh, gee, you're sending out this virus. He called his friend, and his friend said, no, I didn't send that to you. Again, it does it in the background. So you can get viruses, folks, from people you know. And they can be contaminated with and mess up your machine big time, and you don't realize it.
In fact, so 99 out of 100 of them will be from people you know.
So update it.
Steve, the Mac world.
We had some new product announcements this week. Apple revised the PowerBook Titanium line. They added a combo DVD player CD writer drive. So now that you can also watch movies and burn CDs. Apple's been waiting for a company to make a drive physically small enough to fit, and they finally got it out. Also need to remind folks that Apple's got promotions running on their entire product line till the end of the month. So for all your holiday shopping and Christmas gifts, I'm drawing a blank here.
Brain fart.
From $100 on a iBook, free camera when you buy an iMac, free RAM when you buy a PowerBook, and cash rebates when you buy a PowerMac G4 tower with a monitor.
And thrills and joys all around, no matter which one you buy.
Always.
Sure. And on the Windows front, ladies and gentlemen, if you are in fact one of those running Windows XP, which, by the way, is a lot fewer than Microsoft had originally hoped for.
Really?
If you are one of the people running Windows XP, you'd best go to Microsoft's website and download the fix. You can do the Windows update thing, or you can go to Microsoft.com/TechNet, T-E-C-H-N-E-T. There is a huge, huge hole in XP, which would allow pretty much anybody who knows what they're doing on the Internet to take over your machine, read your keystrokes as you type in your password, reformat your hard drive, pretty much anything they want. Microsoft finally got a patch out for this. They've known about it for 5 weeks. Now, I want to make myself plain here. Anybody can end up with a hole in their operating system. There's nothing against Microsoft for that. Stuff happens. And certainly it can be a big one. Stuff happens. But for a company the size of Microsoft to take 5 weeks to fix it, that's before Thanksgiving, for a company that size to take that long is unconscionable and reprehensible. They clearly are not providing enough resources and giving enough priority to fixing problems, and they need to deal with that. It's ridiculous that a company that size would take that long.
Well, However, when the fix was released, it wasn't mentioned that there was a security hole. It's just a Windows update.
Yeah, it's an update for Universal Plug and Play.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Right. We're taking your calls now, so let's go right to the phones, and we will start with Bruce from Henrietta. Bruce, is there a week you haven't been the first caller?
Last week.
Yeah, right. Yeah, he was number two.
He was second last year. What can we do for you?
Well, first of all, I wish everyone happy holidays.
And same to you.
We appreciate it.
Thank you. I was wondering if there's an easy method, this is a Mac question, Steve, for having multiple ISP configurations. I'm thinking of maybe checking out another ISP, internet service provider, and in my Mac system 8.1, which is the most advanced one you can run on a Centris 650, I was wondering, how would I pull that off easily without having to put in all the internet values over repeatedly? Is there a way to set it up for two ISPs?
There are two. Right. Yes. There are two primary control panels. The PPP control panel in older OSs, or remote access in the newer OSs, which actually contains the phone number, username, and password.
Yes.
And then the TCP control panel, which usually doesn't have to change because it's set for PPP. You can go into those control panels, and under the file menu, there's a configurations command that allows you to save multiple configurations for various ISPs. For even older OSs back into the 7s, there's a program called Mac TCP Switcher that will allow you to switch your TCP configurations before Apple added it to their own OS, so that you can do that as well. You can also use the Location Manager, which Apple added in the PowerBook OSs and then rolled into the general OS, to easily switch multiple control panels for different configurations, different locations. It was originally designed for PowerBook, so you can have a on-the-road configuration with a modem, for example, and then in your office configuration with the Ethernet. But you can use it for switching multiple ISPs by using that saved configuration option.
Okey-doke.
Well, when I check on the location manager, it comes back. Location manager has not been qualified to run on this machine.
Right. So you have to switch your PPP configuration basically manually. But luckily, you only need to switch PPP because TCP will stay the same for multiple dial-ups. If you're using different dial-ups and LAN connections like a DSL or a cable modem, then you would also have to switch your TCP control panel. But
well,
you can save the configuration so you don't have to retype everything all the time. You can choose it from a menu.
Okay.
Okie doke.
Thanks, guys. Happy holidays again.
You too. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes on 1180 WHAM. This is Soundbites. Where? Oh, you know, it really is. It's too bad you can't hear what we do during the commercials. We started talking about morals and ethics. We knew it wasn't us.
It was definitely not us.
The song, I had it wrong last time. It wasn't the inventor of the synthesizer. It's the inventor of the noise reduction. This is Thomas Dolby.
Our next caller, however, is Ron from Rochester. Welcome, Ron. What's your question?
Yeah, good morning or good afternoon. Like your program.
Thank you.
I have a virus question. I have 2.0 in the computer, which I know is very outdated.
Right. 2.0 of what?
McAfee?
Yes.
Yeah.
I bought 6.2,
mm-hmm.
6.1 rather.
Yeah.
I'm trying to install it.
Now, did you uninstall the previous version of McAfee?
I did not.
Yeah. What you want to do is go into the Add Remove Programs, and you'll see the old McAfee there. Just highlight it once, and then below that, there's a button, Add Remove, and tell it to remove it. Shut your machine down, let it recycle, come back up, and then do the install of the new McAfee 6.1.
Well, the version 6 installer does a not bad job of removing old versions of itself.
One thing, though,
not great, yeah.
Right. One thing I don't really care for in the new McAfee, though, is that Safe and Sound. Windows already does a pretty good job of maintaining itself. And Safe and Sound, just like in Norton, they can also have their utilities that Quick Boot and all this other stuff that can get in the way. So out of all that, I just elect to not install the Safe
Sound. Yeah, when you have so many different companies trying to do the same thing, somebody's going to get confused with something.
And the other thing to keep in mind.
Well, it says when I tried installing it, it came back and it says Windows was not modified and needs Windows Explorer 4.0, and I have that in there.
Well, like I say,
you may also have an older version of Explorer that the installer is finding first.
I would go ahead and, like I say, uninstall that. Go ahead and reinstall. Well, even after you're uninstalled, you can go ahead and if you're online, whether you got DSL or whatever, go up to Internet Explorer 5.5 at least.
So I should download a new
one? Yeah, update that, and then you won't have any problems. Shut your machine down, bring it back up, and install the McAfee 6.1, and you should be all set, sir.
So download Internet Explorer then.
There you go.
Got it.
Okay.
All right. Thanks so much. Our next caller, Jeff from Rochester. Welcome, Jeff. What's your question?
Hello.
Hi, Jeff.
Hi. I have a Dell laptop that I just purchased, 700 megahertz with 256 of RAM, and it has Windows ME, and I just received the Upgrade XP CD in the mail.
Yep.
And from Microsoft or from Dell?
From Microsoft.
Be very wary about installing that until you go to Dell's website and see if that machine is qualified for XP and what other updates it may need.
Yeah, there may be a bunch of drivers.
I have the Upgrade CDs I got from Dell.
Okay.
So, and my question is, can I reformat the hard drive and do a clean install with the Upgrade CD?
No. One thing, though, you want to do, and this goes for anybody, that's whether they get it as a Christmas gift or anything else, if you're going to do the Windows XP upgrade, one of the key things that I recommend is to anything in the toolbar down in the lower right-hand corner that's running, shut it down.
Okay.
Whether that's McAfee, whether you've got Real Player, any of these other programs, go over there and exit out of them. Make sure you get that down to maybe just the microphone, the speaker on there, and maybe the system scheduler. Get everything else shut down out of that toolbar that you possibly can before doing the install, because it's been my experience that chokes a system quite a bit.
Okay.
And the upgrade CDs for any of the Microsoft OSs, look to see if you already have the OS that you're upgrading from. So unless you have a real Windows ME install disk, if you just got like a Dell recovery disk, that won't work, and you can't do a format and install. You actually have to do an upgrade.
Okay, it's the real ME. One more quick question. I understand that there's no MS config in XP?
Oh, yes, there is.
Oh, there is, okay.
Yeah, it'll look a lot different because it totally does away with the config file and autoexec.
But it is there, and you can go to run, type MS config, and it'll come up. It's actually system information, but they've aliased it to the same.
Oh, okay, great.
Okie doke.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. We're going to a cell phone now. Rick, calling from the great unknown. Welcome, Rick.
I'm here in Rochester.
Okay.
I'm running Windows 98, and I loaded Norton System Works.
Ouch.
Which has the virus package included.
Mm-hmm. And a lot of other stuff.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things it has is a one-button check system.
Yeah.
Whereby it looks at your registry and everything else.
Mm-hmm.
Every time I run that one-button check, it comes up with 15 errors in my registry.
See, again, like we just said to a previous caller, too often you get too many other programs trying to do too many other things within Windows that Windows does, well, I hate to even say this, a decent job of managing it by itself.
Who are you, and what did you do with the real Dave Enright?
What does it say what the errors are and give any recommendations for fixing it?
I can go in and check to find out what that is, and I've done it in a number of occasions.
Be honest with you, if you want to eliminate a lot of problems, strip the rest of that stuff out. If it's got a firewall, go ahead and keep that. If it's got, I just had the firewall and the antivirus. Any of that other stuff, I'd get rid of. It just sits there and fights, butts heads with Windows.
All right, I understand that.
What is the error message you're getting?
The error message I'm getting is ActiveX, and it's the same 15 errors every time.
Well, without really knowing what the errors are, it's hard to tell you what the problem is. It may be that you don't have the latest version of ActiveX. It may be that you had an ActiveX virus at one time that the antivirus software cleaned up, but there's still something left in the registry.
But like I say, if he gets rid of that one step, there go away the problems.
No, there goes the reporting of the problem.
That's right.
Yeah, but no,
it may be a false report.
It
That's
is.
Part of the problem with a lot of the other
it.
Utilities.
Okay, so I can ignore it then.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
All right, that's fine. Now, the other problem is, if I don't run the correction, which Norton does make the correction, if I when I shut the system down, it locks up and shut down. If I do run the correction, it shuts down properly.
But it comes back the next time.
Only when I go to the internet. That's when that problem occurs.
Well, that's where ActiveX comes in. When was the last time you did an update of your Norton antivirus?
Probably.
That was too long ago.
No, about once a week.
All right. When was the last time you did an update, the Windows update? That's way too long ago.
That's possibly.
Yeah, there have been a number of updates to things
critical
like
updates.
ActiveX. A lot of critical updates. You may be needing to do that. Give that a try.
All right, I will do that.
Okie doke.
Thank you very much.
Thank you so much. Our next caller is Vince from Pittsford. Welcome, Vince. What's your question?
Yeah, hi. A few weeks ago, I updated Internet Explorer and Outlook Express and found that actually everything slowed right down. So I thought, let me get rid of them and go back to my previous system, which I did last night through the usual remove...
Right.
Add remove programs. And I was successful with the Internet Explorer. Mm-hmm. And I thought I was successful with the Outlook Express and went back to 5. Unfortunately, I can't use it. Every time I try to open up an email, it says that it can't. Basically, there's something wrong with the address book. I'll show you the message is. Just wait a moment. The address book failed to load. Outlook Express is incorrectly configured. Please reinstall. So I tried to do that a few times. I even tried to reinstall Windows 98 version 2 over it, and still got the same problem.
Have you looked to see whether or not you, in fact, did successfully remove Outlook Express 6? In other words, if you look under program files, do you find anywhere two different folders for Outlook?
No, I haven't done that.
You should do that. You should also then go into Outlook 5 and maybe point it. It may be pointing to the old location for the address book, the one that doesn't exist anymore.
Okay.
So even if you don't find a second, an Outlook Express 6 versus an Outlook Express 5 folder, you might want to go back in and check the file locations under the Tools menu. Options or preferences, and check to see where it is pointing for its files. It may be pointing to the wrong place.
And getting rid of 6 can be a big pain. It just doesn't want to go back to an older version.
It's ugly.
Yeah, well, 6 was so slow. I mean, it slowed the whole machine down.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, but I would try that first.
So I should go to the program files and look for the Outlook Express folder?
Yeah. Right, and see if there's more than one, and then in either case, see if you can change the location of the files.
Okay, thanks.
You know? Thanks.
Bye-bye.
We're going to take another quick break. Now, this is beautiful music for a lovely Saturday before Christmas. We'll be right back in just a moment with Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
Got a computer question? Call the boys at 222-1180. The Choice One toll-free line at 1-800-295-1180. Or star 1180. A free call for Verizon Wireless subscribers. Now, here's Nick Francesco.
And here's Dave Enright and Steve Ray, and we're taking your calls on Soundbites. We are now going to speak to Edith from Brighton. Welcome, Edith. What's your question?
I have no trouble getting to the web. I have no trouble getting to web pages. As soon as it's a secure site, I can't get there. And I've had help from real mavens, I would say about 12 hours worth in the last week, long talks with AOL and really good people here in town.
You're coming through AOL for this?
I think it started when I downloaded AOL 7. But here's what we've done so far. Upgraded my Internet Explorer to 5.5, raised my encryption to 128, fooled around with the registry, the adapter, set the security high, set the security low, put the security back at default medium, deleted my temp files and cookies, purged my graphics, a lot of things I don't even remember because I didn't understand them in the first place. And what happens is I get to Amazon. I can search, I can find a book, and the minute I try to order it, the page cannot be displayed. I get to Merrill Lynch's homepage, and when I hit login for my account, the page cannot be displayed.
See, I still think it's an issue with AOL. In other words, see, even though you're dialing up and you're going through AOL, and you're using Internet Explorer, you're still going through the AOL gateway.
I have spoken to different AOL people who were great and stayed on for a long time. Seven different ones. I've got a case number and a long history. Yeah. And every one of them says, well, I can't stay with you while you download Internet Explorer 5.5, but that'll do it.
Right.
Mm. Yeah, right.
There's...
Or go and do it. Well, but some of them have stayed with me for a whole hour.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
There's two things to check. One is go into Internet Explorer 5.5, go to the Help menu, choose About Internet Explorer. It will tell you what your encryption level is.
Well, yes, it's 128.
Does it say that? Because
yes.
There was a bug in several versions of IE where it would say 0-bit even after you installed the 128
no,
upgrade.
No, it says 128.
Okay.
But see,
the other thing to check is the screen name you log in with AOL. Is that your master screen name, or have you set up other screen names?
No, it's my master, and I checked it. It's general. It's not restricted.
See, this
okay,
all
that also
for
is
her,
a problem.
Though, with when she went from 6.0 to 7.0. The only link there, because nothing else has changed on the system, is the version of AOL that she's using. And
well, now, wait a minute. I really erased 7, and these people who were helping me found it in a lot of other places.
Oh, yes.
Yep.
But the trouble is that the last Maven who had it put 7 back. But that doesn't matter because totally getting rid of it didn't help anyhow.
Right, because even when you uninstall or remove other programs from the Ed Remove programs, you can go into the registry, which I don't recommend for most folks, because if you go in there and mess it up, you're literally...
But a lot of these people who I had on the phone guided me through it, and I was surprised to find it was all over the place.
Oh, yes, yeah. Yes.
And they took it off. But mm-hmm. then the last person who had my machine put it back on anyhow.
Mm-hmm. One thing you can try, you may need a friend to do this, is sign up for or use a friend's other internet service, a direct internet service, and see if IE can get to your secure sites directly. If it can, then your IE is working fine and the problem is AOL.
On another machine?
On your same machine.
So in other words, if you have a friend who has an a dial-up internet service provider who's not AOL, ask them if you can use their username and password, dial into their account, and see if you have the same problem.
And see if I can log into my account at that point.
Yeah. Well, go to those websites that you were trying to go to.
Yeah.
Forget about AOL.
Amazon.com, pick another book, and without going through AOL. And if you can use your Internet Explorer to, get to the Amazon and order a book and it goes through it, then again, this just confirms that it's something within AOL.
That's the only way you're ever going to be able to tell where exactly the problem is so we can start narrowing down what to look
at
next.
Well, all right, but look, I have talked to 6 different AOL people. As I say, they gave me a case number, and a lot of them stayed on more than an hour. And the last one that I went to went through everything everybody else had done and gave up.
Yeah, probably.
What do I do now?
When you downloaded the 128-bit encryption...
You're going to ask me a question I don't know the answer to.
I'm sure not. When you downloaded the 128-bit encryption, before you did that, did you have cookies enabled? You had to have cookies to be able to get to these other websites, right? Because that's the way you work.
Well, we took out my cookies. Somebody took my cookies all out.
But they were still. But were they still enabled?
Yes.
Okay. Because
I think so.
Well, here's the problem. You cannot correctly install 128-bit encryption if your cookies are turned off. It looks like it installed, but it didn't.
Cookies. In other words, where you enable cookies, I should make sure that that's done.
And if it was not done, in other words, if they're off, turn them on.
And then what?
Shut down Internet Explorer.
I'm writing this down.
Okay. Then open it up. Then update to the 128-bit encryption again.
But I don't know how I did that. How do I do that?
It's a file you downloaded.
Yeah. You can go to the Microsoft website for Internet Explorer, and they'll have one of the items there is 128-bit encryption. You just double-click on that, and it'll automatically start. It'll open up a window. It says, do you want to save this or run it? Just click on run.
Right. I know that much.
And say okay, and it'll go ahead and reinstall it.
And I don't know why this is, but I do know that if cookies are disabled, the 128-bit upgrade looks like it worked, but did not.
Okay, I'll get back to you.
Let me know, Edith.
Please, this may be a slightly longer question than some others, but let's start there.
Okay, thanks, guys.
Okay,
thank you.
Thank you so much. Our next caller is Brian from Fairport. Welcome.
Yeah, how you doing?
Good. How are you?
Well, I got a frustrating problem here. I got a HP. It's a friend of mine's actually. I got an HP machine.
Yeah, another one of these. It's a friend.
No, I'm sitting in front of mine now. It's fine. But she's got an HP. We took ME off and put 98 SEN.
Well, that was one good step for her.
Well, other than we had problems finding the video. I went online, found a video driver, but I can't get the sound. It's a Crystal device, so when I go to Crystal, it says that's now Cirrus. When I go there, it says they don't support drivers. Go to your manufacturer.
Is this HP integrated audio, or is it a card?
No, it's integrated.
So you may have to get it from HP's website,
yeah,
because
right,
Crystal's probably just the OEM.
Right. So when I go to HP's site, I download a couple of the drivers.
Well, wait a minute. HP comes with a CD, correct?
The only CD she's got are the ME CDs. There's three CDs.
Yeah, but if you do an Explore, open up Windows Explorer and do an Explore of the CD, sometimes they put the drivers on there.
Okay.
And you can just do a search. You click on it. There might be the drivers, the plus sign next to it, and then they might have the drivers for the video, the modem, the sound card.
The other problem
you're talking
is,
right from the ME disk.
Right.
And the problem, since because it's an ME qualified system that came with ME on it, there may not be 98 drivers for some of the components.
Gotcha. Okay, so maybe I was loading loading for 98 off the HP site, and maybe I should have tried the ME.
Yeah, look on that CD, because quite often they bury the CDs just in case something gets messed up.
Don't run the CD.
Right.
No, don't run it.
Right.
Just say explore it.
Right.
When you put it into your drive, when you close the door on the CD, hold the shift key down.
Okay.
On most machines, that will prevent whatever you put in the CD from running.
From opening, okay.
If it does start, just say exit, and then do an explore.
And if I can't find the drivers on those discs?
Then it is time.
Then you might have to look in inside the case and see the chip, if you know how to look for the chip for that particular sound card. And there's usually a model number. They'll put a sticker or whatever on it.
Okay.
And have to do a search if you went to, like, Google.com and look for that particular chip model.
Or WinDrivers.com.
Yeah, I think WinDrivers isn't free anymore.
No, they're charging.
Yeah, I don't go there. No, not anymore.
Go to Google.
Okay, thanks, guys.
Thanks. We're going to take a break, and then we're going to check the news, because the real world is still happening while we sit here having fun with computers. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Steve Ray, Dave Enright, Rob Linton, me, Nick Francesco, on Soundbite, your computer user group of the air, on 1180 WHAM.
Dave Enright and Steve Ray on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Imagine a world where you couldn't count on any antivirus software from anybody. At least here on Soundbites, we don't call you an idiot to your face. Our next caller, Casey from Rochester. Welcome, Casey. What's your question?
How you doing? I love your show.
Thanks.
Do as much as I can.
Thank you.
I'm planning on building a new system with two AMD Athlon MPs, 1.5 gigahertz.
This sounds familiar.
Yeah, it does. Go ahead.
And a Tyan Thunder K7 motherboard.
Okay. Great board.
That one word of advice.
Oh, here we go.
Yeah. I've learned the hard way.
This took us 4 days.
Casey, on that motherboard.
Yeah.
One thing they don't say very well in the, you've got the 2462 board.
Yeah.
One thing is key on that, it says it'll take DDR memory.
That's right.
It takes DDR.
But it has to be a certain kind of pin, right?
Well, no. DDR is all the same pin, but here there's like four different flavors. There's DDR, there's DDR EC, DDR ECC, and DDR ECC registered. Now, on that particular board, the very first memory chip has to be the DDR ECC registered. The way you tell the registered memory are different is you've got your row of chips on a normal memory chip.
Mm-hmm.
Below that are 2 to 3, depending on the manufacturers, littler chips. That makes it registered. And it is key that you have that in the very first slot. The other three slots can be filled with any type of DDR memory.
It's a little footnote
they forgot to put in the manual. Go ahead.
Well, that's what my question was. I was just wanting to get your guys' take on it and see if I'm getting myself into more trouble than
no.
Than
when you're done, you're going to be smiling like crazy loon. I am. I just got essentially the same setup. I'm afraid I only have 1.2 gigahertz machine, so
I'll be trading it in soon. But
yeah, but how much disk? 96 gig of hard disk space?
You know, it's my home machine. Anyway, you will love that board.
Yeah.
Once you get it set up, what operating system are you going to run on it?
I'm going to run, I'm going to dual boot Win 2K and Linux.
Let me suggest that you put them on different hard drives.
Yep, I am. I have
good
three
for
hard
you.
Drives.
You are ready to go. You are going to be loving life.
All right, thanks, guys.
Sure.
Love the show. Bye.
Thank you. Give us a report when you get it built.
Yeah, I'd like to hear.
Our next caller is Barry from Pittsburgh. Welcome, Barry. What's your question?
Hi, guys. I just bought last night a Maxtor 160 gig drive.
Okay.
And I'm running Windows XP.
Mm-hmm.
I hit the 137 gig head thing.
Right.
And I don't seem to be able to work around it. Now,
there isn't a workaround yet.
They did send a little flyer in the box here, and it said that for capacity over 137 gig, you got to use the Maxtor ATA133 PCI adapter card, which I am using, but I'm still hitting...
Right, because there hasn't been an update for Windows XP to get beyond that hump.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, there is, at this point, nothing you can really do about it that
XP
I know of, anyway.
XP is, I mean, you know, it is a great system. I won't, you know, knock it.
Well, I've only been running it for 2 weeks, but I like it so far.
Oh, yeah, but one of the big things, Microsoft really missed the boat on this one, folks, in that they didn't even put their own drivers on there for the keyboard or the mouse. Hello? Their own products aren't on their own CD. You've got to go to the website and get the drivers.
Every division at Microsoft works independently, and none of them talk to each other.
I just set my machine up last night, and I suddenly realized I have the IntelliMouse, the infrared IntelliMouse, and I've got the big Microsoft keyboard with the buttons at the top, and they're not showing up. There's no drivers for them.
You got to go to the website, even for Microsoft. So
there's long and short of it here, Barry, is that there's not a lot you can do about it at this point, and I am sorry.
So if I so I shouldn't head towards Maxtor then. I should head towards Microsoft.
I would wait. Yeah, you're going to have to wait in, you know, until they come out with an update. You know, what can I tell you? It could be a month. It could be tomorrow. It could be next year before they get around to actually doing it.
So it's the drivers that are in XP then.
Yes, and that's the problem. They've got, you know, basically, I hate to say this because Microsoft is touting this machine as an enterprise operating system. If you can't even put 160 gig of hard drive in a machine, it's not an enterprise operating system.
It's a single drive is the problem. You can have a RAID of up to 2 terabytes.
Right.
A single drive.
Well, what if I wanted a RAID of 160 gig drives?
Yeah.
Well, it's kind of bummer because I bought the 160 gig. I could have bought the 100,
right.
But I bought the 160, said, you know, it's only $50 more, but I only get 137.
Right. Yeah. And I am sorry.
Okay, so the bottom line, though, you'll help me a lot if you just tell me, just back off and be happy with the 137 I bought, right?
Don't worry, be happy.
Yeah, do the 130 right now, and then when they come out with a patch, it might allow you to recover that other remaining 35.
Then again,
five.
It might not. Don't count on that, but be happy with your 137.
The thing is, you saved me the time of trying to hack through it for another 4 hours.
There you go. Now you can sit back and download music.
Okay, thanks.
Okay, thanks.
Pictures.
What in heaven's name happened to me sometime in the last 48 hours? Our next caller is Joe.
You were up
Pittsburgh.
I know what it was. You were up playing in the machine. How late
exactly
were you up
right
until?
I think I went to bed at some booth. Sleep? I don't need no stinking sleep. Our next caller is Joel from Pittsburgh. Welcome,
yes,
Joel.
You
What's
ready?
Your question?
This question for Steve. I have a Mac G3. It's a 233 megahertz machine currently running system 8.6. Question is it worthwhile updating to system 10?
No.
Next caller?
It will run. There are some issues. Is this the platinum model or the blue and white?
It's the, I think it's beige.
It's technically it's Apple Platinum, and I have big arguments with the guys at work that call it beige. there are issues when installing OS X on that model machine. You have to install it in the first 8 gigs of any drive. So if you have a drive bigger than 8 gigs, it has to go in the first 8. But with a 233 processor, it's probably going to be too sluggish to be enjoyable. You can always install it and then switch back to OS 9 because you also have to install OS 9 to run older programs inside of OS 10.
Mm-hmm.
And you can basically do a dual boot between 9 or 10. So you can see how well 10 works on that speed processor and then go back to 9 if you have to.
Is 9 worth going to?
Probably not for the... There aren't that many features it itself adds. There were some big issues, big improvements in how Sherlock accesses the Internet for global searching with inside the OS without going to an Internet web page. For the most part, the changes in OS 9 were all underlying code changes to make it ready for OS 10.
Sounds like you just saved me $100. Thank you.
Well, you can always get a new machine that comes with OS 10 and would be a lot faster anyway.
That's true. Yeah.
There you go.
All right.
Too sluggish to be enjoyable. God, whoever heard that before. Our next caller, Frank from Rochester. Welcome, Frank. What's your question?
Hi. I have an office on Main Street in Rochester. It's an older house, and there's two people that drive down Main Street with super high-powered CB radios.
Mm-hmm.
And when they drive by, they will... there's 8 or 9 computers in the first 10 or 15 feet of the office on the first or second floor, and every one of them leaves. Lock up, or within 5 or 10 minutes, lock up.
Yep.
Or their screen will just go berserk, where if you just move the mouse, everything in the world, every window pops up.
Yeah.
And it just locks the programs. What can I do to protect them?
You mean other than a high-powered rifle?
I thought of that, but...
Yeah, they're running probably linears on the...
Yeah,
they have the huge dual antennas on top of their trucks.
Yeah.
Well, aside from getting the FCC after them, the best thing you can do is are these machines laptops or desktops?
They're desktops tied into an NT network.
Okay. Well, the only thing you can really do is attempt to shield. The cabling is probably where this stuff is coming in because the cables are essentially antennas. And you're using those blue Cat 5 cables?
Right.
You can get those shielded. Normally, they are not shielded. That may by itself solve the problem. Because,
okay,
you see, Ethernet is nothing but radio. But rather than going through the air, the carrier medium is the wire. So other radio waves will interfere with it. So if you shield the cable... You have a better chance,
yep,
at least, of not having the problem.
It would
wrap
be the
it all
cheapest,
with aluminum foil.
It would be the cheapest way to go right now because Cat 5 cables, aren't that expensive.
Right.
But the bigger trick would be the cable that's currently running through your walls, inside the wall, needing to shield those as well.
Right. If you have it, yeah, that's what I'm talking about. All the Cat 5 should be shielded. Most of it is not. Ethernet wire is unshielded twisted pair. That's Cat 5. You can get it shielded and Teflon coated and all this other stuff, and that is certainly more expensive, but it may be the only solution in this case.
So you think it's coming through the Ethernet cables,
mm-hmm,
and not...
I'd give that about a 99%. Because most machines have at least some RFI protection.
A lot of times you'll see on the monitor cable and on the keyboard cable, there'll be a big blocky thing at the end of the cable. That's the RF shield.
Is that a Mac term?
Yeah, big blocky thing.
Big blocky thing.
That's the RF shield.
That was the
for
cube, wasn't it?
Yeah, that was a little cubey thing.
Yeah. But yeah, if you don't have any of those on the cables, then you may need to get them, change the cables out. For the monitor and the keyboards and stuff, but generally they have them. What you really need is to work on the Cat 5. And you might do a test, by the way. Take one machine and run the expensive Cat 5 directly to a switch somewhere and see if that one doesn't go down. If it doesn't, then you're on your way.
Okay, I'll give that a try.
Okie doke.
Thank you.
The other thing
Thank
is
you.
Put a big transmitter in your house and point it back out to the street.
There you go. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes with more of your phone calls. Dave, Steve, Rob, me, Nick Francesco on Soundbites on 1180 WHAM. Hey, the guy's not even in Rochester. He's never going to know we're talking about it. We're back to Soundbites, and it's the news you need to know now. But you're not going to know it now because we're going to talk about last week's poll and this week's poll. As you know, every week on our website, we have a poll. You can get to it easily by going to wham1180.com. Go down to the lower left and see our button, which,
Three
by the way, is the
faces.
Best button on the site. Click on that. It'll take you to bigger pictures of our faces. And if you live through that, you can get to our website. And when you do, you can vote in our poll. Last week's poll was of what do you want for Christmas? And the choices, the winning choice, a new computer, had 32% of the votes. I am delighted to say I voted for that one since I was getting one. And directly behind that, I'm delighted to say, was a nice book. A nice book. DVD player, a new hard drive.
Because the folks that didn't get the new computer are still waiting for their old one to boot up.
They need
the new
book. Sitting down with the old stuff. That's exactly right. A new hard drive got 26 votes. RAM got 23 votes. And a PDA, a personal digital assistant, got 11 votes. Total number of votes, 2, 3, 4. I want to thank all 234 of you for voting. It was great. This week's poll is just a little bit different. I do take poll suggestions. You can write to me at pollideas@soundbites.org, or pretty much anything with the word poll in it at soundbites.org will get to me. This week's poll is pretty simple. Should spam be legal? We all know what spam is. It's unsolicited commercial email. You know, buy this, get that, buy the Viagra, go to this porn site, do all this stuff. Should it be illegal? And the two choices are quite obviously yes and no. We have 44 votes in so far. Three-quarters of you think, yes, it should be illegal, and there's 27 of you who are living in the alternate universe.
Well, I saw you put that up very late last night, and then I wound up being the second voter. And
yeah, I was fourth.
Yeah, he's sitting there. Oh, fourth?
I was fourth. I was doing, I was working on that other machine, and I was suddenly...
I was number two, and I figured, oh, he's got that up and running.
No, I don't know who was first. We got 45 votes, so vote in the poll. Vote in our poll, Soundbites, the Soundbites poll. And before we go back to the calls, we have a couple of things on the website.
Yeah, one other thing that we want to put up there, we've put up for you folks that have little kids. NORAD is going to be putting up their site again to track Santa. And if you want to, Nick has already put the link up there, but in case you got a pencil and paper ready, it's www.noradsanta.org/english/index.html, and your kids can sit there and watch Santa as he takes off and gets ready to do his long trek around the world delivering Christmas gifts. It's a lot of fun, and I think they'd really enjoy it.
And who better to track Santa than NORAD? That's on our website. If you go down to the lower right, you'll see a link that says, I heard a site on your show. And that'll take you to a list. There are two of them. One is alphabetical. One is chronological. And the other one for today so far is the North Pole Times. This is a website kids can email Santa. They can chat with him live a couple of times during the season. They can follow the stories of the elves and stuff. It's a great site to share with and play with your kids. So if you want to spend a little quality time with your kids, and who shouldn't, that's the place to do it. But we're going to go back to the phones now, and our next caller will be Lee from Henrietta. Welcome. Welcome, Lee.
How you doing, guys?
Good. How are you?
I was kind of disappointed you didn't have an iPod on that list, sir.
Yes, I know. I know. Somebody else was angry with me because I didn't put new music.
Anyway, I have a small
and archives.
Home. Mm-hmm. I have a small home network with a Mandrake print server. All my 98 machines are able to print with it, print to it with SAMA, but I got a Red Hat 7.1 machine, and I can't get it to print to it. All I get the When the LPD starts, I get a message that says, get localhost IP address not available. I can't find any place in my computer where it says localhost.
Well, the thing is this. Well, there is. Everyone has one. But here's the real problem. If the Windows machines are talking to Samba and you didn't make any changes in the Windows machines, they are going over an encrypted link. There's an encryption to...
I made a change in the Samba that said...
no encryption.
Do not use encrypted passwords.
Okay, did you make that change in Red Hat?
No.
There you go. They all have to be the same.
Where would I find it in Red Hat?
Same place you found it in Mandrake. Mandrake is a Red Hat distribution. They just repackage Red Hat. So you should be able to find it. You go through the same set of functions that you went through for... Mandrake, and you'll find it in exactly the same place.
So that would be in my SMB config?
You got it.
And change it in all the machines?
Well, it should be changed in all... The rest of them are all talking to each other.
Right.
Figure out what it's set to in Mandrake and set it to that in Red Hat, and you should be golden.
Okay, I'll try it. Thanks, guys.
Go for it. Thanks. We're going to take another quick break, but we are going to come back for a lot more of your calls on Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
Here's Nick Francesco.
don't know. Whenever I hear the boys, I think of the Three Stooges, but...
Certainly.
Certainly. That's me. My SIG is... I have Curly's body, Larry's hairline, and Moe's attitude. I am the Three Stooges. And we are the Three Stooges plus Dave Enright, Steve Ray, and Mr. Rob Linton, keeping us semi-coherent here. I'm Nick Francesco.
We give him a hard time about it.
That's right, and you're watching... You're watching? I don't know what you're watching.
Stare right at your radio.
I don't care, because if it moves... we'll now try... We'll reach out your hand. Move that radio. You're listening to Sound Bites, and we're talking to...
He was definitely up too late last night.
Or too early this morning. Fred from Caledonia. Save me, Fred.
Hello, how are you?
Great. Hey, how are you?
I just solved the problem that I was calling you about. I don't know why I did it.
Okay. What was the problem, though?
Well, I was running Norton 2001, and it came up. This is off the hard drive.
Yeah.
It came up and said it found some lost file clusters, but then it kept cycling, and it wouldn't correct it.
Yeah.
So I had to put the CD back in again.
Yeah, a lot of times when you're finding problems on your hard drive, it can't fix them when you're booting from your hard drive.
Because you're using your own files.
Yeah. Right. Got it.
Okay. I understand now. Okay, that's what I was calling you about.
Okay.
I got one other... Can I ask
you a
quick question?
Sure. Since you solved your own problem, go ahead.
Okay.
Then we'll ask you one, and it'll be a round robin.
Okay, I have AOL. And I have a modem.
I have AOL, and then they laugh apologetically. Go ahead.
Okay. How can I check the correct speed on it? I have 6, and of course, it comes up with the hardware.
There is no correct speed.
Yeah.
I mean, how can I check to see what I'm actually getting on it?
Download something and time how long it takes to download.
The real problem is this, Fred. As you download, when you have any new modem, connects at the best possible speed it can get at that second. But throughout the entire time you're connected, it raises the speed until it gets an error. Then it lowers it, and then it raises it again until it gets an error. Then it lowers it. So it's constantly correcting itself and trying to maintain a faster speed. Nothing you download that gives you a snapshot of your speed gives you the real speed of the system. There are some programs that will give you an average over a few hours. But tomorrow it's going to be a different average.
And why frustrate yourself is the way I look at it. I mean, you're going to look at these numbers, and you're not going to be able to do anything about it because the phone company isn't going to come in and put all in, you know, all new fiber optics. So save yourself the frustration. Whatever it is.
One thing to be sure of is that in your AOL setup, you have exactly the right kind of modem selected and the specific brand. A lot of modem manufacturers will have 3 or 4 different models. So make sure you have the right brand, right model, and then AOL will know to use that modem to its fullest potential.
Yeah, I guess the reason I was asking the question is that I've got a gateway. When I go up to the gateway site, it does tell me that I'm connecting at 41.
Right, but that's how fast you're connecting. It changes the next minute.
Right, but when I go to AOL, if I download something, I have timed it, and then it seems like the best I'm getting is 21.
Well, the other part of the problem is that it's not necessarily you, it's also AOL. See, whenever you download something through AOL, the website you're getting it from sends it to AOL. AOL then sends it to you.
So
you
20 million people ahead of you on AOL.
Yeah. Exactly. So you're being bogged down by the machines at AOL.
Okay.
If you download something from inside of AOL, you'll probably get a better throughput.
Yes.
Oh, and one other thing. When I was in the car coming here, and that's why I decided to call you guys about this problem.
Sure.
There was a lady on there who was having trouble getting to sites.
Secure sites.
I had that for a little while, and what I did was I logged on to AOL and minimized it and used Netscape Navigator and got through.
That's a point. Yeah, she was trying to use Internet Explorer.
She may want to try and do that.
Yeah.
That's a good point, Edith. If you're still listening, give that a try.
Oh, I'm sure she is.
Thanks, Fred. I appreciate that. Thanks. Our next caller is Bill from Greece. Welcome, Bill. What's your question?
Welcome to Gagabyte, huh? You know, the telephone people can hear you.
The telephone police. Got to watch the phone police.
That's right. At least they didn't say anything rude.
Yeah. I networked my computers with a Netgear router.
Mm-hmm.
And when I try to get on my upstairs computer, sometimes I can get on and I'm on a cable modem and go right in. Other times, getting in is just so slow, getting the browser to come up.
Yeah, where is the Netgear router?
It's in the basement.
And
on a desk, away from all electrical appliances.
But even so, how far is it from your router
up to
the second floor?
I have a 50-foot line.
Okay. Here's the problem, though.
You have
though.
A 50-foot antenna.
Right. You have a 50-foot antenna. And as we said once before, there is a limit, a distance limit to unshielded Cat 5 cable.
Well, this is fast Ethernet. Is that shielded?
No. No, that depends on the cable you're running. Yeah. If you're running that blue or yellow cable, no.
It's black.
Maybe, but it's unlikely if you're having a problem anyway.
Uh-huh. And where did you run it down through? I mean, if you ran it down,
I ran it down through a hole in the wall and then down to the walls.
And is it going through by any other electrical line?
Nope, I got no electrical stuff, no fluorescent lights, no heater motors from the furnace.
That's good, but even so, I would suggest you replace that
outlets?
With 50 feet of shielded Cat 5.
Huh?
That should by itself solve the problem. If it works when you bring the machine closer...
Sometimes when I run it straight to the... to the modem downstairs, it works every time.
See? So if you're...
Why would it work straight to the modem, but I go... The router's right next to the modem.
So that 50-foot line, you plug it into the cable modem, everything works perfect.
Yeah.
You plug it into the router and everything.
Sometimes I get through and sometimes it doesn't. I got to... Three or four times I got to restart. Well,
that's a different problem. If you plug it into a different...
Different port on the router.
I've done all the other ports on the router.
Same thing happens?
I resync the router, resync the modem.
Is it router / hub?
It's got four ports on it.
Okay, it's a Linksys?
It's a Netgear.
Oh, Netgear.
It may well be that the signal level is high enough to go directly to the modem and not high enough because you're splitting the signal now
mm-hmm.
Among four different connectors when you go through the back of the...
Mm-hmm. And have you tried different ports, though? I'm
yep.
just wondering whether it's...
I've been all the ports. I even disconnected the downstairs computer from the router. It's only had one line off the router, and it's still... Once in a while, I get through fast. Sometimes I don't.
Yeah, I still got to go back to my first answer. I'm thinking you should try the shielded cable. It's not, for one 50-foot run, it's not terribly expensive. Mm-hmm. I'd go for it, run it, see what happens, and I expect it will solve your problem.
Okay, I have an answer for a problem I've heard you guys come up with a few
Ooh,
times.
Ooh, excellent.
We like that.
People have called in and said they just got Windows XP and they can't network it.
Mm-hmm.
And on a website called practicallynetworked.com, they've got known problems with XP, stopping XP's yep. firewall, and a couple other things that you must not do if you're going to network XP. And when I ran that, then my XP connected fine.
Yeah, they have a lot of good information on setting up home networks.
Yep.
Yeah, but especially about XP, there's some real...
tricks.
Some real tricks there that you got to follow.
Oh, yes, definitely.
Thanks,
just like
guys.
I was
great
telling
show.
Folks about installing it.
Yep.
Yep, great show. Happy
Thank
holidays.
You. You too.
You too. Well, that was great. I love it when people call in with answers. Our next caller... at Soundbites is going to be Mike from Rochester. Welcome, Mike. What's your question?
Well, I want to talk about XP, just the general concept of it. But before I do that, I want to ask you, Nick, did you go to grade school on Chatelier Avenue?
I did.
You lived on Lincoln Avenue growing up?
I did.
Yeah, we used to walk back and forth to school together.
Did
you have Sister Etherita for second grade?
Yes.
That explains probably why, yeah.
God, you're old.
I know.
That's great.
Let me throw in that you've always been a brainiac. I can vouch to that.
Thank you. I was hated.
I lived on the Pew Street, two blocks before your street. I used to extend my walk home two blocks just so I could continue the talk with you.
Yes, I remember that. How nice to hear from you again.
But I just want to say... this whole concept of computers is confusing. It's future shock all over again because you got these people looking at XP, and you guys are the new Tin Men. I mean, you got a new version to sell every season.
Us guys. Yeah, don't ever think Microsoft sends me money when they sell XP because it ain't happening.
Well, I didn't go anywhere near it because I expected that two months into the release there would be some crisis. Now, is this planned incompetence or I mean, what's the deal? Are they just selling this?
That's their mission.
No, Microsoft doesn't have to plan their incompetence. Mm-hmm. The problem is when you have something this large and you have so few people working on it, you're going to run into problems.
Is there like 10 million lines of code?
Yeah. There's 10 million lines of code. And if, you know, I mean, do the math, even if they have 50 people working on it, which they don't. And the problem is they're hiring people, you know, it's not self-selecting. They hire people and say, you're going to work on drivers. Well, what if you're not a really great driver guy?
Yeah, or imagine.
You know, they're trying, but it's very hard in a commercial environment to bring out a really phenomenal piece of code. And
the big problem a lot is market pressure, that 98 was getting old, then they had to come out with 2000. 2000's
well, the
old.
Other part of the problem is if they don't bring out a new operating system, they don't make money.
And one thing, though...
But no one's upgrading to it, so they're not making money.
One thing, though, we also have to realize, though, back when Windows first came out, and I'm talking Windows 2.1,
mm-hmm.
I mean, there were fewer components that manufacturers had to, and programmers had to deal with. You look at all the different peripherals now that you can buy to hang off your PC, and you're trying to create an operating system that's going to be, oh, by the way, play well with all of them.
10 years ago, you buy a Mac or a PC, it runs, it never crashes.
Right.
I mean,
today, they're just trying to do so many new things, so many more things at the same time.
And there's the problem, there's the dichotomy that Microsoft has between keeping certain things secret and proprietary, and yet getting out enough information for other manufacturers to write drivers and stuff correctly.
Exactly.
It's a hard tightrope to walk, and they slip off.
Yeah, well, let me cut to the chase.
Yeah,
can I?
To the chase.
I mean, as an old guy, you know how old I am.
Yeah, ancient.
Save me some time. I mean, I'm trying to get a grasp of some of this stuff, but I just don't have the time to be frustrated by trying to absorb all this stuff. What would you recommend to a semi-novice trying to, I know how to use a terminal. I worked at one for 15 years.
Sure.
What would you recommend to try and get to the basics?
I'd recommend you stay on the line and don't hang up, because we're going to go to a quick break, but we'll be back in just a couple of minutes, and then we'll answer your question. You're old now. Take a nap. We'll be right back. It's us, the new Tin Men, although I tend to think of myself more as the Cowardly Lion. I do believe. And we have Mike on the line, and we may have an answer for a question we think he asked about an hour ago. Go ahead, Dave.
Yeah, Mike, from what I'm gathering, you just want to learn about the basics of XP?
Well, no.
Our computers in general.
Transferring files and email filing and things like that.
What you might want to do is check out some of the local user groups. Again, if you go to our webpage, you can go there. There's a lot of other places that you can check the yellow pages that offer basic classes in this, along with, say, like organizations like the JCC and other continuing ed places that really specialize in this, and it's relatively cheap.
And you can also find some pretty good book series at the bookstores. There's two big series. There's the Idiot's Guide and the Dummy's Guide.
Do you guys recommend those?
Yeah, the Dummy's Guide is written with a more irreverent attitude, and some people don't like the jocularity of the books.
Well, and the titles are insulting, but the books are good.
Yeah. And Visual, there's another company, I think it's even a sub-company of Microsoft. It's like Visual Windows XP,
right.
And you read the text, and it has very good graphics. So that if you're clicking along and doing it, you don't have to sit there and try to visualize, what are these words? What should the screen look like?
One of the other big things you can do that's really kind of nice is to go to the local user groups.
Yeah.
There's a list online. Jack Greenkey, God bless him, the crazy person that he is, every month he finds out who's doing what to who and puts up a list. You can find it linked off our website at soundbites.org. Go down to the lower right, and you'll see I saw a website, and I heard a website on your show, and in the alphabetical list, it's Jack's list of user groups in Rochester, New York. And there's newbie groups and all kinds of places that you can go. But it's not a simple process. There's no one place you can go and get a brain dump.
I'll start with that, though. Thanks a lot, Nick. And,
our pleasure.
Best of luck to you. I mean, you're doing great, and thanks for all your advice.
Thank you so much. See, that's my formative years, and now you see why I am the way I am. Our next caller, I've called in. I'm talking to myself. Nick from Rochester. Nick.
Well, good afternoon, gentlemen.
How are you?
Good, good, thanks. A quick question for you. We just jumped overboard and bought an Athlon XP 1700 machine.
Mm-hmm.
And I just found out that I have the opportunity to push that up to either the 1800 or the 1900 for a few dollars extra.
It's always a few dollars extra.
Pardon?
What was that?
It's always just a couple dollars more, you get the next whatever.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know if it's worth a couple of extra or not. Though.
Usually not, unless you're doing some high-end CAD work.
What are you going to be doing with
engineering work, video editing, things like that.
Is this going to be a home computer? Or?
It's a home computer. It's going to be mostly games and maybe a little bit of video playing around, but nothing serious.
You have to remember that if you do the math, from 17 to 18 is less than 1%. Increase in speed. From 17 to 19 is just over 1% increase in speed.
And if you're going to get any extras, if they're offering, say, 256 memory, go up to 512. XP will take advantage of the memory that you throw at, unlike Windows 95 and 98. So in any event, instead of spending the money on the processor speed, spend it on more memory, and that will ultimately give you more speed too.
And the big thing in a Windows machine is the speed of your video card. The faster your video card, the faster Windows works. That's just a given.
And if you're
so if you're going to spend any kind of money, you know, the difference between going up 1% in processor speed and doubling the speed of your graphics card, you'll be way better off with the graphics card.
Yeah, he said he wanted to do movie videos in that, so a 32 or a 64 meg video card would get you more performance than in
that's what we're thinking, Nick.
Well, that sounds like a great idea, and I'll stick with that idea. Any suggestions as to a video card that might be worth investing?
Any of the NVIDIA GeForce cards are phenomenal.
And the ATI Radeon.
64 meg.
But you have to worry about the drivers with ATI. If you're going to do any of the cool stuff, you have to get them right from ATI.
Okay.
Good luck.
Great. Thanks for the help.
Our next caller, Bob from Pittsburgh. I think we've got time for that. Bob, what's your question?
Yes, I have a question for Steve.
Yes.
I'm running on Mac OS X. I haven't had any luck installing an Epson 740 stylus. I have a print server set up. Is that my problem?
A print server on the Epson itself, or are you trying to go straight USB?
No, I've got it through a print server to a router.
That could be part of your problem. OS X has got USB drivers built in, but it may not have the Ethernet driver for the print server. Your best bet would probably be to go to Epson's website and download the OS X drivers. Now, I know they've got OS X drivers for their printers. They may not have a driver for the print server yet. But what you can do is plug the printer directly into the computer and then be able to share it through OS X to the other machines as well.
How do I do that?
There's a USB printer sharing in the system preferences. Oh, wait, no, hang on a second. OS 9 does it. Actually, I haven't tried it in OS 10 yet. OS 9
does. I remember doing it on OS 9, but...
The theory is it's the same.
Okay.
Right. So go to Epson's website, check the drivers for that. Is it one of the Axis print servers they sold? Yeah, check the OS 10 drivers for that print server.
Okay. Thanks for your help.
Sure.
Okay. Okay, well, I hate to say this, but we are out of time. I don't want to say it. We are out of time. I want to apologize to everybody we didn't get to.
We got to wish everybody a happy holiday.
Happy holidays. I hope the new year brings you all the joy and love you can stand. Gather your family close to you in these times. Love each and every one of them as hard as you can. I want to thank Dave Enright and Steve Ray. I want to thank Rob Linton for keeping us on track. We will see you next Saturday on WHAM 1180. I am Nick Francesco for Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
This is Bob Brenner, Jr.